if you will, be turning in your Old Testaments, if you have your Bible with you, to Psalm 46. Excuse me while I get everything ready here. Psalm 46 is where we're going to be taking our text from today. And I want to, while you're doing that, express my great appreciation for the fact that you're here. And we have a larger number than what I thought we would. It necessitated some scrambling to make sure there were sufficient emblems for everyone for the Lord's Supper and enough chairs for everyone to sit. And we're grateful for the fact that you're here. Several of you are visiting with us. In fact, we have four visitors. And we want you to know how very much we appreciate the fact that you've come to be with us. And we have two others who are here for the first time. Luca Cox, who I cannot see because he's in his carrier. And then Stephen Jackson is here as well for the first time, both newborns. And we're grateful for the fact that their mothers brought them out today. And I can't wait to look at a distance and see those two young men. I do want to apologize to those who are watching the live stream. I accidentally first posted it to our public page, had to stop that, and then started on the closed group, the private group. So I hope that everyone was able to find it and hook up. Hope everyone can hear me okay. Is everything fine? Okay, then let us get into the lesson. I would like you to turn with me to Psalm 46. And while you're there, I'd just like to begin by noting that last week, when this lockdown first happened for most people, I did a short canvas of sermon videos and audio because most people were doing that. Most preachers were trying to get online just as we're doing for those who couldn't get out. And it was obvious that all were preoccupied with our response to this national pandemic. And they were seeking to establish some principles from God's Word to show us comfort as Christians. And I didn't do that, if you'll remember last week. I felt that it was important that we talk about our response in times of crisis and what we ought to be prioritizing in the decisions that we make, especially with regard to service to God. But I do want to note today that there is a great deal of comfort that we can derive from God and His Word, and that we should have a different mindset as we come together as Christians, or as we're in our homes, as we're sitting out this pandemic, as we are anxious about our health and our welfare, that our perspective in this should be a bit different than what it is with regard to the world about us. And the Scriptures afford us that comfort during such times, and our text for today is especially helpful in this. And so I would like to read the entirety of the 46th Psalm. It's only 11 verses in length to begin our time together. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though its waters roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It's a beautiful passage, a very poetic passage, indicating that God is indeed our refuge and strength. And if we are His, then we can have that comfort of which we speak. Now, I want you to notice some of the constituent elements that make up this particular passage. So let's go back up to verses 1 through 3. Read them again. God is our refuge, strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with its swelling. You'll notice the devastation that is described in this particular text. We've talked a bit, and you've heard a lot about the pandemic and how this is a silent or an invisible enemy. And It's that we are on a war footing here in the United States of America, despite the fact that we're not fighting against other armies. We're fighting against this particular virus, which is an invisible enemy. And so it's catastrophic. But I don't know that we could describe it as more catastrophic as what we find here in the text about mountains being carried in the midst of the sea, the earth being removed, the waters roar, and the mountains tremble. That is catastrophe. And he tells us, he promises us that despite such catastrophe, that God provides us shelter, that God is our strength during these difficult times. And he is one and has shown himself to be one time and time again throughout history, as we see all of the examples that are found in the Old Testament, and even anecdotally, times in our own lives to which we can make note where God has given us the protection, even in the most dire times in our lives. God has always been there and has always given us strength. A couple of other passages from the book of Psalms that we want to note in this regard. The 18th Psalm. I'll read the first two verses of Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. He says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, and he is my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Now, it's interesting that that passage, how many different ways he states what we are asserting in our lesson today. He is strength. He is a rock. He is a fortress. He is a deliverer. He is strength, again, a shield and a stronghold. That's our God. In Psalm 62, and the first two verses of that psalm, Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist there says, truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be greatly moved. Now, the one thing I want to note about that passage is the resolve of the psalmist in this. When he ascribes this power that it comes from God, he understands that that power gives him strength. He is my strength, and because God is our strength, no matter what may happen, we will not be moved. I love that passage. I shall not be greatly moved. You can imagine that. You remember when Jesus was talking to Peter about the establishment of his church. He said, you are Peter. And the word there is a feminine word which indicates a pebble. You are a pebble. But I am going to build my church upon a rock. And that is an immovable foundation stone. And that rock is Jesus Christ. And so when we consider that, the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that truth, that foundational truth, is foundational with regard to strength as well. I will not be easily moved. I will not be greatly moved because my foundation is Christ himself, the bedrock. And as a result of that, I can certainly have strength and have shelter. I had down in my notes as an example, and some of you may appreciate this, some of you not so much, but there was a center that used to play for the Los Angeles Lakers. His name was Shaquille O'Neal. Most of you probably are aware of the name. He's someone that is still kind of relevant in popular culture. And I've watched a lot of basketball in my life. I've never seen a man like him, who is as athletic as he was and as big as he was. He's about 7'2" tall, and he weighed around 300 pounds while he was playing, or the high 280s, built like a Mack truck. And I remember so often how he would just basically overpower other players, even big men, you know, 7-footers, individuals that weighed 250, and he'd just toy with them. If they would run into him, they would fall down. He wouldn't even move. And so when I see that I shall not be easily moved or greatly moved, that's kind of the idea that I have. It's like I'm the Shaquille O'Neal. I'm the one that's standing there, and no matter what others may strive to do, because God is my rock, my foundation, there's nothing that they can do. You know, just use just another quick illustration with regard to my granddaughters. You know, they run up to me, and they just run full speed into me, and then they bounce off. Or if they don't hold on, they'll fall down. But it doesn't affect me because I am not easily moved in comparison to them. But as Christians, we're not easily moved in comparison to any of our enemies, whether they be individuals who are seeking our lives, those who seek to quash our faith, or even those kinds of natural disasters and pandemics that would strive to hurt us or harm us. And so God provides us shelter. And because of that, we can truly have confidence. You remember the text of Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm is one that everyone is familiar with. And the interesting thing about that particular psalm is that it is not a psalm about someone who is dying. We often use it at funerals, but it is a psalm about someone who's in danger. And so when you read in verses 4 through 6, we won't read the entirety of the psalm, but verses 4 through 6, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's the comfort that we can have as a result of the shelter and the support that is supplied by our God. Now, I want you to go back to the 46th Psalm, and now I would like you to read verse 4 of that. Verse 4 refers to a river. "There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God." A river whose streams. Why is he referencing this river as making glad the city of God? Well, you'll notice in verse 5, the statement is that God is in the midst of her. The reason why the river makes glad, the reason that the river supplies support and sustenance is because God is in the midst of her. And so we'll note that as well, that God supplies sustenance for his people. The Lord provided for Israel during their wilderness wanderings. You'll be, if you're familiar with the Old Testament history, be aware of that. That time when they were in the wilderness of Judea. And if you have looked at pictures of that wilderness, it is not a wilderness like the Great American Wilderness with all the forest and trees and food. No, it's desolate. That's where the Dead Sea is, which has no life in it. And there's very little life in the surroundings, the environs there. Very little water that comes. It's a desolate place. There's a description given in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verses 15 and 16, where we are told that the Lord God led them through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the flinty rock. He fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good to do you good in the end. Now, ultimately, and one thing to keep in this mind, because I think it's an important consideration here, is we as a nation are going through a difficult time. And I cannot overestimate the difficulty of the time that we are going through as a church. I may be wrong, but I know of only one other congregation, and they are meeting in a home, a small group meeting in a home, that is actually meeting for worship this morning. There may be others that I'm not aware of, but the ones that I'm aware of, that I know of, and that I've seen on Facebook, they've all decided to do virtual worship. We've made this decision. It is a difficult decision for us to make, those of us who are here today. But I want you to understand that in the end, these difficult times, if we will, in the testing that God is allowing to happen, maintain our faith and strengthen ourselves through these things, in the end, it will be for good. And I'm not, when I'm saying that everything is going to be better economically when this is over, because it's probably not going to be. I'm not saying that there's not going to be hardship, because there very well may be. I'm not saying that God's people, some of them will not contract the virus and some may even die as a result of it. That is the way of the world. But in the end, through the testing, we prove ourselves. We show ourselves to be righteous and we receive blessings both here and eternity and in eternity because of this sustenance that God provides to us. And so it is a difficult time, but we must not lose heart knowing that God is providing support for us. Now, the one thing I want to add to this particular point is taken from the New Testament in Jesus' relationship to us from John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and chapter 7. You'll remember in John 6 and verse 35, Jesus described himself as the bread of life with this statement, "He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus is the bread of life. In John chapter 7 and verse 37, John 7 verses 37 through 39, on the last day, okay, the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Spirit has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." And so we see again Jesus' sustenance that is given to us during these times. Going back to the 46th Psalm, in the 5th verse, 46 and verse 5. I want you to note that. In verse 5 of the text, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. God is in the midst of this river that we're speaking of. And I do want to note that this has reference to the fellowship that God provides, that God is in our midst. God is with us. It's a beautiful passage from 1 Kings chapter 8. We'll try to get through this quickly. When Solomon initiated worship in the temple at Jerusalem, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And I want you to notice in 1 Kings 8 and verse 10, 1 Kings 8 and verse 10, it came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. And Solomon spoke, "The Lord said he would dwell in the dark cloud, and I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever." So keeping that imagery, that idea of God dwelling in the temple, that house that was prepared, I want you to understand that in like manner, Jesus Christ shares an abiding relationship with us. If we are his, he is with us. Paul explains why good doesn't fellowship evil in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And you'll remember the reason why we're not to have fellowship, that God does not have, or Christ does not have, accord with Belial. He says in verse 16, "Because you're the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk among them. I will be their God, they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Now, if you'll notice one final point, and then we'll draw this lesson to a close from chapter 46. Again, reading verses 7 through 11. 7 through 11 of the text. "The Lord our God, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come before the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, cuts the spear in two, burns the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God." We'll stop it there, because the point here is that God provides peace. He's talking about the warfare that is ongoing. And there are wars that come among men, but God grants us peace. There is peace in Jesus Christ. You'll remember that. I want you to notice in this passage, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, the truth established clearly. Philippians 4 verses 6 through 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That kind of peace, spiritual peace, is granted to those who trust and obey Him. And we can even say the same thing with regard to the accord that we have as Christians, if indeed we pursue the things of peace as children of God, as a congregation of God's people. "Let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another." Now, we are to have peace with one another, but we can have that peace because of the instructions that God has given us, and because of the fact that God is with us. Our fellowship is first with God, and then our fellowship is with one another. God is our refuge. Now, by way of conclusion, there is a song that was written by Ann Stevens. Many of you know Sister Stevens, Jimmy Stevens' wife, and she's a songwriter. And there was a song that she wrote that she finished at the Texas Children's Hospital, where her second newborn grandson was struggling with a variety of very serious health problems. And so it was a time of great turmoil and tribulation for her. This is what she said. "Oh, waste not this day in worry. You must face the past and let it go. For the Father who knows your sin and sorrow is the Father who loves you. So, oh, waste not this day in worry. Oh, borrow not tomorrow's woe. For consider the birds in all their glory neither gather nor reap nor sow. Oh, waste not this day in worry. Won't you treasure every single hour? For your life, it is nothing but a vapor, like a lovely but fading flower. Waste not this day in worry, spend not this day in fear, for he knows the sparrow, it's he, your loving father, ever near. Beautiful passage of scripture, and I just want to leave you with that. God is our refuge and strength, and no matter what, we can have comfort and we can have help during this time of trouble. We're going to offer an invitation now, and the one thing we would do, the only thing I suppose we would do to violate the social distancing, is if there is anyone here who needs to be baptized in water for the remission of sins, we will make available that to you. The baptistry is prepared in the building. But if you are a child of God or in need of any encouragement, any strengthening, any prayers on your behalf, if there is anything that is amiss in your life, anything that we can help you with, we offer ourselves to you. We ask that you come and let us know while together we stand and while we sing.